Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach family. This is Mama Seven, and it is Wednesday. I want to call it a wonderful Wednesday, happy Wednesday, a Wednesday. It is Wednesday. It has been difficult in places, and then in other places, there's been a lot of clarity. So I just want to thank everybody that's tuning in. And I want to send a special shout out to family in South Carolina. We got family going through some, heartaches, and can't control heartaches all the time. We'd like to, but we can't. So for all those really going through it in South Carolina, know that our prayers are with you. Stay strong. For everybody else in the universe, I want you to stay warm. How about this weather? There are people still without power. It is crazy. Texas, of all places in the world to have snow. Texas got snow. My father's out in Portland, Oregon, has had power on and off all week. So, you know, there's some real interesting things going on in the country. And it's been interesting, family. You know, this weather phenomenon didn't just start the interesting part. We've been at interesting. We've been at interesting since 2020. It's almost become, you know, crazy as the new norm out here, because it seems like there's always thing very extra going on, very, very extra. But I'm glad everybody made it to this point of the day. And I pray that, you know, the days get better. The hearts feel better, you know, just everything that's going on, that we get to a better point in this understanding of life. When life gives us these issues, when we're struggling like this, all we can do is pull on God. I promise you, family, that's all you can do. You know, we can try to pull in other things. Feeling, thoughts, words, whatever. I promise you, nothing is going to make it better but prayer. Nothing's going to make it better. Nothing's going to make it easier. You know, and in fact, you know, people tell me, you know, you live a spiritual lifestyle, and what do you mean you still have trials and tribulations? Yeah. Mama Seven, I still have trials and tribulations. Not because I want them, Lord have mercy. Not because I want them, not because I'm looking for them, not any of those reasons. The reason why I still have trials and tribulations is because everyone has trials and tribulations. I hate to tell you. I hate to be like that, but it's the truth. We are all being actively tested as we speak, and the tests just keep coming. You know, and I always say, when you get into high school, you know, everybody likes to get grown. I got one of those grown people in my house right now, a little high school freshman, knows everything and nothing at once. And so, you know, we like to get ahead of ourselves. But I promise you, when a test comes, then you'll be trying to look for your fat number two pencil. And that's when you're like, no, I need the baby test. I need an easy test. Give me something I can zoom past. And it just never happens like that, family. When you are grown and thinking you're grown, you're going to get a grown test, you know. And all I can ask you to do in the middle of your very grown test is that you be patient with yourself and everything that you're going through, okay? Try to be patient. Patience is the only thing that's going to help us to make it through this, all right? But as we're going through, just try to remember all those trials and tribulations we got to work on. Last week, we spoke about vulnerability. And I can see a theme popping up here. You know, the theme, we should call the theme trusting in God. Because some of the topics that are coming up, some of the things that God is asking us to actively look at, to change, to make adjustments on, are things that you can't change, unless you trust God. You're not going to be able to just wake up in the morning and allow yourself to be vulnerable if you don't trust God. So all of this is going to be very, very eye-opening when it comes to who we are, who we say we are, and who we want to be. Last week, strength and vulnerability. And I spent a great deal of time looking through pictures to find the right picture to say exactly what I wanted to say. And the picture on that program was this little, this adorable baby elephant playing with some birds. And I was like, two of my favorite things. And it was just a wonderful little thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's strong and vulnerable. You know, it's still a baby. I don't care how big it is, strong it is. And the elephant's like towering over these birds. And so to the birds, I'm sure the elephant is like all of that. Elephant, you know, can get them and everything else like that. But it's still vulnerable. There's always a vulnerability. We all, every person has a vulnerability. So I thought that was such just an adorable picture. And as I was going through the idea, the program, and everything else like that, I was like, you know, how to be strong in vulnerability. How much strength does it take to be vulnerable, say you're vulnerable, and still move forward anyways? You know, I don't know what was going through David's head as he was swinging this rock towards Goliath. I don't know what was going through his mind. But the strength that he derived from being in this very vulnerable position had to be enough to propel him forward to actually being able to throw this rock. You know, and when I look at situations and I'm like, how did this happen? What was going on? You know, what made them so strong that they could do this and not think about it? And those are the kind of things I do, like the question I think about, I ponder, and I try to make sure, you know, that I not only do I think about it, but I try to apply what it is. No matter how crazy it may look, you know, even if it's one of my favorite songs, is and this song's been done a couple times, but I like the one that I think his name is Marvin Winans, one of the Winans brothers. He sings "Say Amen," you know, or if the church say amen. But this song is about, you know, the power and the surrender that's in the amen. You know, once you say amen, that is kind of that's sealing off the prayer, that's sealing off. That's lending your support, that's having your voice heard with everybody else's amen, right? And so I wonder how strong you have to be when you're having to co-sign on something you may not want to. You know, when you have to get along, you know, how strong do you have to be in the middle of that? And so, you know, and the reason why we have to ask these questions and have an answer for these questions is because life is going to ask these questions, you know. And one line in the song goes, when your dreams are about to die, say amen. You know, no matter what, once you've heard God's word, you've heard it, you know it to be God's word. How are you going to say an amen to that? How are you going to say whatever God wants? You know, in Islam, they say, you know, by God's will, for the love of God, for God's pleasure, okay? So this is basically saying, I'm doing this not because I want to or not because I feel an advantage or not. This doesn't have nothing to do for me. I do it, you know, in God's will. If God wills it, then it'll be done. If it pleases God, then I'll do it. You know, and at that point, all it takes is for you to be able to acknowledge that God's word has been said. God's actions are in place. So, and the strength to be able to do that is very, very powerful. So that strength and vulnerability, I really like this show. I would love for you to take a minute, listen to it. You can listen to it at a Wonderful Approach Facebook page, or you can go to awonderfulapproach.com, check out all the latest radio programs. You know, treat yourself. I have one sister, she listens to all the shows. She has a commute into work. And so when she goes to work, you know, she's listening. And then by the time she gets to work, you know, the prayer's on. She says somehow it always times up where the ending prayer is on just as she's pulling into her job. So she sits for a minute and listens to the prayer, and then she goes in. And she says, and it gives her brain and her spirit something to hold on to throughout the day, you know. And, of course, I was humbled and honored to know that I was part of her self-care, her spiritual care, her mental care. I was honored to know that I was a part of that. And then also honored to hear that, you know, people are really, really tuning in. I mean, the numbers show it, yes. But to be able to get the feedback and say, oh, no, I'm listening, I'm tuning in, I am, you know, I'm passing it around, I'm pressing one, I'm just, all of that is so wonderful, because you never know if your lesson can be somebody else's blessing. What you had to endure, your discomforts, your anything, your everything, when you share, you open yourself up for people to be able to learn from you. And that's one of the reasons we do radio. You know, we do radio to help stay on top of each other. Let's call, let's check on each other, let's do this, let's do that. But also we do it because we know, let's work on our accountability together. Let's work on really talking about some of these things ahead of time. You know, let's get our study group together, all that. Don't wait for retreat and then spirit got you and you knocked on your butt because you're like, whoa, I didn't know all that was going on. I didn't know I was holding on to all those feelings. I didn't know, you know, that part of me really, really felt this way. So it is wonderful for us. We have to be able to kind of sit back and say, look, this is where we are with things. And that's why we do radio every week. But don't get me started. Don't get me started. I absolutely love radio. I want to talk this week about prayer and worry. Now, when I was younger, a child, from preteen, probably up, I remember the last time I wore a watch was my high school graduation. I was a fanatic about time. I always had to know exactly what time it was. I always wanted to guess time. I mean, it meant so much to me. And my mother was not a timely person. My mother was 100% black. When she showed up, that's when the party started. And when she left, that's when it ended. You know, she's not paying attention to no clock at all. And it would drive me bananas. Bananas. And I was, she would say, you know, you're really stressing. This is more than just wanting to be on time. You know, you're worrying about this. This is unhealthy now. You're going to have to let this go. I couldn't let it go. It was just too much. I couldn't be late. I always felt this person's talking about me, this person, that I can't do it. So when it came to understanding what was important, you know, because, you know, we love to focus on things that aren't important. We did a whole show on intuition, and I told people stop paying attention and worrying about what color socks somebody's wearing. You know, let's stop worrying about the little things that don't mean anything. Let's focus on the things that actually do mean something. Let's focus on our prayers. Let's focus on reaching out. You know, everybody should have an elder in their Rolodex that they reach out to once a month. We're your elders. You know, everyone should have an elder. I when I lived in Atlanta, I knew the Tree of Life was a bookstore up in Harlem. And it was one of the bookstores that Malcolm X used to frequent. And the owner of this bookstore retired and was in Atlanta. And I actually met a little, not a little old man, but he was a much elder man. And it was, oh, the stories. I would sit in his place, me and my two boys, sit on the floor. Because his house was probably, his whole entire house was probably the size of my living room. And we would listen to this story, that story, this story. And before we left, he would always ask, young man, would you take my trash out? We're like, oh my goodness, yes, yes. Then I found myself coming, even without the boys, hey, can I grab the trash for you? Can I? Oh yeah, you don't mind. And of course, Elder, I don't mind. And so just doing basics, some small basics like that, it made a difference. So he shared his wisdom and knowledge, and we got, you know, for a simple walk around the corner, take out the trash, you know, we got the opportunity to sit and meet someone who has sat and met with and been in the area with and everything else like that, okay? So we need to have our elder connection going on. You know, if you're over 30, you need to have a young person that you're mentoring. You know, we have to work together on this and work on how we're getting this done. Anyway, back to me as a child is worry work. I worried about time. I drove everyone crazy. And what an elder once told me was, you're going to miss out on the present worrying about where you should be, where you could be, what should be going on. You know, allow it to flow a little bit. And the last time I wore a watch, because I was making myself crazy, it was my high school graduation, in which I was an hour late, and my last name starts with ABD, so I couldn't be late. If I was late, I missed it. So I'm all upset. My mother's not thinking about me. We're racing, and she said, you know, look, just pray about it. You're going to be okay, I promise. So I said, oh, my God. So I get there, we park. She didn't even let me out in the front part. Park, we walk up, we get there, line up. As soon as I get to the line, they call my name, boom, I was right on time. 5 more minutes, I would have missed it. But I was right on time. And then, of course, I'm looking at her like, oh, my God. And she's like, your prayer came through. And I was like, you know, but it did. You know, I wasn't late. The time, instead of stressing, I wish now, of course, hindsight, I would have spent relaxing. I would have spent laughing with my sisters a little bit more, possibly putting on a little makeup, whatever. But, you know, that time that I spent worrying wasn't getting me anywhere, not at all. The time I spent praying, I got there right on time. And so you'll find in life that when it comes to praying and worrying, the two don't coexist. They can't coexist, okay? They're almost the opposite, all right? So we pray, why? We pray out of obligation. We pray because God is good and deserves it. We pray because, and when I say obligation, because I do pray out of obligation, I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful. I believe I received so many gifts from God that, you know, I'm like, ugh, God, you've been showing up and showing out. Let me get my prayer on. Let me show you how thankful and proud I am. So there's always, for me, I do that give and take because I do want God to continue to bless me. Keep blessing me, God. Keep working with me. You know, keep those things coming. So I pray all the time. Praise, protection, praying for other people, working on my abundance, working on building myself, working on building others around me. These are all the reasons why I pray. But I am praying 100% knowing and trusting that God is able and capable of taking care of everything I just asked for. Even slowing down the moderator 5 minutes so I can get in line so I can walk and graduate. Now, what is worrying? All right? In worrying, you know, I know what words mean in general, but I always like to look up definitions because when I look at the definitions, I realize there's so much more to that word, okay? Worrying means, worrying is a strong feeling of anxiety. And or it means to constantly pull, tug, touch, rub constantly, okay? So it's a constant worry, and that's what they say. You're worrying something. That means you're constantly rubbing on it, bothering it, irritating it. That's what worry means, strong feeling of anxiety. When you worry, especially about something that God controls, you're basically saying that you don't trust God to take care of this problem. When you worry, you are saying, you know, and this sounds crazy, that's why I kind of had to chuckle. You're saying, God, I think I can do it better. I think I should keep this in my head. You know, I don't want to trust you with my worries. I don't want to trust you with this. I'm going to hold it, okay? Now, we started this off saying that we are young beings, right? We're up here failing basic tests. We have to go through each year to try to get our devotions right, trying to get our prayers right. We spend time and energy trying to work on basic things like controlling our mouth and not saying inappropriate things. We work on controlling what we eat. These are our big issues. Controlling what you eat, controlling what you say, controlling the loins. Now, once you've gotten those areas straight, you are doing something, but you're only doing something to you. You are only controlling you. You haven't even gotten to the idea of controlling someone else. So as we're struggling, man, those swear jars were real high. I'm not going to put nobody on Front Street. But when we did devotions and we had precision of language, you know, precision of language, that's when you say what you need to say only. Precision of language is when you say, you know what, I'm not going to let foul words come out my mouth. I'm going to hold my mouth accountable. I'm going to hold me responsible. I'm going to manage and maintain good. And the swear jars were getting that large. So I know we can't control nothing. So how in the world do you think you can control something that belongs to God by worrying about it? You know, when the old folks said let go and let God, they weren't saying that for God's benefit. God doesn't have that problem. God doesn't have the challenge of, oh, worrying about something. You know, that's not a challenge for God. So when they said let go and let God, they were talking about for your benefit. They were talking about for the things that help you to live, to maintain. Let go and let God. God is bigger than you. God is bigger than the problem. I tell people all the time, look, I don't tell my God about my problems. I tell my problems about my God, meaning I'm not worried about my God being able to solve it. I know it can get solved. What I'm going to do is try to focus myself. In the meantime, how do I manage myself accordingly? How can I hold on? How do I keep my prayer strong? How do I keep my faith up? But what I'm not going to do is worry, because worrying keeps it in my hands. Worrying keeps it on my mind. And that is so unhealthy. Because at that point, then you start trying to tell God how you want it done, when you want it done. And that, no, God is not a pizza delivery person. You know, this is not Burger King where you have it your way. You have to begin to understand that God knows more than you. And if God knows more than you, then God already knows how to fix it. All you have to do is give it to God to get fixed and then move accordingly. Okay? Now, does that mean give it to God and you don't do anything else? No, that does not mean that. You know, and we're going to talk about it. You know, one thing about a wonderful approach, we are transparent. We're going to talk about it. We're going to share because we have to. I have to let you know. Don't just say, oh, God, I need to take care of this, and then you keep moving. You don't make any changes. You got to make the changes because that's how God's going to see your sincerity and your preparedness, okay? So we're going to go over it. We're going to go over it. And like I said, a wonderful approach. We don't play around with it. We talk about the real deal. We have to. We have to, because we know, I say this quite often, but we know that we are the spiritual leaders. We are the ones that are going to help shape an understanding moving forward about what is spirituality, how do you have a healthy relationship with God, how do you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you know? And so as we're going forward and we're shaping these ideas, we got to make sure we got them good, right? So praying and worrying. And this is not an only me conversation, even though I can talk forever about how good God is, about how patient God is, and how forgiving God is. God will let you hold it and play with it, won't pop your hands. You know, God is so good. You know, I could talk all day about it, but it's not about me speaking all day. I would love to open the phone lines up. All you have to do is press 1, and we could talk about it. You know, we could talk about how hard it is not to worry, okay? Because God's time is divine time. That may not be our time, and that can be a little confusing from time to time. You know, here we are thinking, okay, God, I've been waiting. I spoke with a beautiful young man the other night, and he's ready for his life. I'm ready for my life. I'm ready for my wife, my 2.3 children, the cat, the dog, and the goldfish. I'm ready for that. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's wonderful. How wonderful. But are you really ready? You know, so in the idea of praying, in not worrying, you're not going to, you may not be able to hold yourself up to the standard, to the idea that everyone else is holding themselves to. You may not be able to set up the same timelines that everyone else is setting up. It can, ooh, that's hard to do. It's hard for you to hold fast, don't move, don't fret, don't complain. When it looks like everyone around you already got their ice cream and you just sitting here with an empty bowl, you know, it can be difficult. But this is why we have to have trust in God. You know, I think over the last maybe 2 or 3 months, that whole idea, that whole concept of trusting in God has become paramount. How are you trusting in God? Are you truly allowing God to steer your life and for things to come into your life in a positive way through God? Or are you trying to direct it? I'm going to tell you not to direct it. I'm going to strongly suggest that you not do that, because it's always, because God is the master planner. We don't even see enough to be able to plan. So this wonderful young man, as he's going through these trials and tribulations, and he's ready for his family, and he's ready for his wife, and it's so absolutely wonderful to see and meet a man who's ready for these things. I got excited. I was like, yes, Yes, I got a good sister for you to meet. Okay. Let's talk about, though, while we're waiting on God, let's talk about how you are preparing for this. Okay. Are you strengthening your relationship with God? Because in order for you to have a wife and to be able to lead her properly, you have to have a good relationship with God. Do you have that yet? No. Okay. All right, that's fine. That's something for us to work on. Okay. When it comes to the children, have you learned to be compassionate, patient, loving, supportive? You know, have you done all those things? No. Oh, okay. As it was almost a good thing that God hasn't given you all these things that you're looking for, because it doesn't sound like you're ready for them. But if you keep focusing on what you don't have and what's not there in front of your face, what it seems like everybody else got, if you keep focusing on that, then you're never going to see where you actually could be part of the reason you got the hold up. So I stopped worrying. Mom 7, stopped worrying. Decided at a very young age that since I can't control it, I want to put it down. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to worry with it. You know, I said, you know, and this was, on one hand, it was arrogant. On the other hand, it was an epiphany. And I said, if I can't control it, I don't want it. I don't want to be in charge of it. If I can't slow down time to suit my needs, I don't want to have to worry about time, you know. And I'll just show up to work around the time that, you know, a little ahead of time. I'm not going to be on time because I can't control time itself. So people are like, oh, well, time, that's a concept. That's different, Mama 7. I said, oh, really? It's different? All right. Have you ever tried to control a baby? Something simple, you know. I remember when Talib had to be maybe 2 months. He's always been stubborn, always been ornery. And I remember having he was tiny. He was only like 6 pounds, you know, I think maybe, I don't know how many ounces, but he was a little guy. But I remember taking his little wrist, and I'm trying to shove it in a T-shirt, and he is fussing and wiggling, and I'm sitting there like this is surgery here, trying to get his little balled up fist, because he kept his fist up, balled up all the time, and would grunt and groan and everything else like that, and I'm trying to get his wrist in this T-shirt hole, you know, trying to just put a T-shirt on the child, and I remember Solomon as a young boy came in, and he was looking, he's like, Mom, why are you fighting with the baby? I'm not fighting with him. I'm just trying to put this T-shirt on him. And he was like, you are. And I had to stop. And I was like, I think I am fighting with this child. He's not listening to me already. He's not even a whole 2-3 months. And already. And I said, you know what? I can't even control a baby. No, you can't control a baby. So you can go ahead and stop worrying about that too. I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm not even going to worry about these children. These are not my children. These are God's children. I'm just here to guide them. I'm their guide. I'm their caretaker. But these are God's children. I can tell because they don't act nothing like me. They're not doing what I want them to do. I'm demanding that they listen. I'm demanding that they do this. If they're not paying me a lick of mine, I can't control it. It's beyond me. And if it's beyond me, I got to give it to God. I can't do nothing with it. Okay? And from that day, I have had a real good relationship with both of them because I'm not trying to force them. Any lesson that they need to learn, they're going to learn it, and if they have to get popped on the butt, hey, they learn the lesson themselves. I can't worry about it. Because when I start worrying about it, that means, what do we say worrying means? That means I don't believe God can take care of it. And I would never say that. I fully 100% believe that any and everything that these boys can get into, that God can get them out. I know right now there's 10 things that they can get into that I can't get them out. I can't help them all the time. That's how I know that I'm not the beginning, the middle, or the end. That means it's not my job. I can't worry about it. What my job is to do is to pray and act accordingly. So that means I'm going to pray. I'm going to guide them on their way. I'm going to act as if it has already come through and come true and keep it moving from there. I don't have to try to force it. I don't have to try to look, you know, oh, well, I'm going to stand right here. I want to stop my life and watch this child do. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. We have to allow each person to learn the lessons that God wants them to learn in their own way. I mean, I can't even sit here and tell you how many times I'm like, oh, I really hope this little one gets it so that they can go and fly and be happy and be successful and all these things that I want for them, right? But I know now what I want for them doesn't matter. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to allow it to bother me. What I'm going to do, like I always do, is try to make sure that I've done my part to help people realize there's a way to go about things, help people realize, you know, hey, let's spend this time doing this or doing that. But what I'm not going to do is worry about if you're going to do it. That's not my job. God has asked me to be a messenger. That's what I do. I deliver messages to people. You know, some of the messages are good and sweet and loving, and I love it. Some of the messages are not. But God did not ask me to be an enforcer. I am not judge nor jury. That's not my job here on this earth, in this understanding. So seeing how I don't control it, I'm telling you I don't worry, and I live a much different lifestyle. I am so free, and not many people can say that they're free. I know when those boys were young, and I use my children a lot, for example, because they're precious to me. And everyone should have that thing or that someone that is precious to them. So I use them for that reason. But I know for a fact this can be applied to anything. You don't have to have children to understand this. You know, you could have a design. You know, you could have a patent. You could have, you know, there are any number of accomplishments that you can have and feel pride on. Know that this is something positive, something good, something grand. But it's not something to covet. It's not something to be jealous or envious about. And it's definitely not something to worry about. Worry is negative. You know, not only with bringing wrinkles, but family, it doesn't solve anything. If worrying solved something, we would all be worried all the time because it's a natural thing to do. You know, and someone may ask, hey, well, is a little worrying okay? I don't know many people that worry a little. If you worry a little, I think they call that concern. You know, oh, I just wanted to make sure you were okay. I hadn't heard from you in a while, just looking at this, just looking at that. That's not worry, that's concern. But when it's on your mind 24/7, oh, I wonder what they're doing, I wonder what they're eating, I wonder how they're living without me, I wonder, you know, let me check Facebook again. Let me do this. When you start to worry, we're becoming unhealthy. You know, I know people, you know, and a wonderful approach. We talk about relationships. We could talk about relating. I know people in relationships that worry constantly. Oh, you know, does he really love me? Does she really love me? You know, is this person cheating on me? Is this person, you know, playing me? Is this going on? Is that going? Oh, man, if you allow the world to creep into your head, you will constantly worry. And in relationships, unfortunately, in 2021, relationships get real complex. Facebook is so wonderful. I love Facebook because I love cat videos. I love, there is actually some good information on Facebook that I find every now and again. Things I like to study, things I find interesting. It's great. I like it. But when you're using Facebook to stalk your ex, I'm going to tell you, we're now going to unhealthy. I'm sorry. It's unhealthy. When you're, you know, when we're going and we're spending time looking at old pictures and can't believe how big the kids have grown. And, you know, I got a picture of Talib at 6 months sitting with his auntie. And now at almost 15, 16, Talib would break poor auntie's lap, okay? It's so cute to see these things. But if you're sitting there pining over the past, if you're sitting there having that unhealthy jealousy and envy, that's not good, family. This is why so many times when we say, okay, we got devotions coming up, what's everybody going to be giving up? What's everybody going to be releasing for a month? A lot of times I hear social media. Not because social media is bad. You know, we have to get out of the idea of bad and good. You know, the question is this healthy? All right? They always talk about, you know, oh, a glass of wine a day, or I don't know if it's a day or every other day, helps with this, this, and this. Okay, that's great. But are you drinking one glass of wine? Or are we drinking a bottle? Because if we're getting past the one glass or two glass, we're becoming unhealthy. You know, and one thing I want to tell you about unhealthy, this is the problem. It's a little sneaky. It won't say it's unhealthy. Unhealthy habits like that find a way to creep, to sneak, to undermine, to justify. Oh, I can have more than two glasses of wine because I didn't have any yesterday. How many times are you going to go do that math? You know what I'm saying? Yesterday's yesterday's yesterday. Well, you missed a day, you know, 3 weeks ago, so you're going to have four cups instead of two today, you know. When does the madness stop? When do we get to the point where we say, okay, look, if this girlfriend of mine, with her gossiping self, who always got some, you know, what they say, tell a story, carry a story. She always got something to tell you. What you don't realize is that she always got something to tell about you afterwards. That one. Okay. That's unhealthy. This is, you know, this is not a vent session at this point. This is not a you know, a girl's night out. This is unhealthy. We're entertaining negative things. We're entertaining negative people, you know. And so once you've gotten to this point where you can see that you are not in a healthy situation, you have the responsibility to exit yourself out. Don't stay. And you'd be surprised where negativity likes to sit. Negativity likes to sit real close. Negativity likes to sit real close, right up under you. And you're like, good grief, I can't have no space. And the answer is no. No, you can't have no space. I'm trying to sit under you. I want you to see. I want you to learn. I want to understand what your little ticks are, you know, the things that make you tick. Why does worry want us to do that? So it can pop up during those times. Okay? That's why. So if we're up here and we're doing well for ourselves, we're loving ourselves, we're advancing ourselves, making prayers, got ancestors on deck, we're doing all this, and we have a family member say, "Oh, I don't know why you're doing all that." Uh-oh, here comes worry. Oh, am I doing too much? Am I doing the most? Am I going to be able to have friends and do this? Am I going to be able to, you know, maintain male relationships and still keep my shrines going? Am I going to start to be, you know, the black sheep of the family, whatever, you know? So when that worrying comes in, what is it doing? It is completely undermining all of the positive work that you have just put in place. It doesn't make, so you see now what I say, praying and worrying cancels each other out. So imagine, like, you have some positive affirmations on your wall. And I love affirmations. Affirmations are statements that you say over and over to yourself so that you can hear it, so that you see it, so that it's on your mind, it's part of who you are, and you begin to believe the word that is said. So affirmate, I got, for those that have been down to the temple, I got runes on the wall, odus on the wall. I have all kinds of spiritual languages on the wall, okay? So we're going through and we're trying to build and we're taking care, trying to take care of everything that we need to take care of. And how did this get to be too much? How did we get to go too far? With these positive affirmations, my favorite, I am worthy. Plain and simple, I am worthy. And I have this right in my room. I see it 3-4 times a day. You know, every time I see it, I say, I am worthy. Now, if you're saying I am worthy 3 or 4 times a day, that's wonderful. Your brain starts to say it without you even consciously doing it. Every time I glance over there, my brain is going through its process. I am worthy. You know, and when I'm feeling fancy, I'll answer, I am worthy of love. I'm worthy of respect. And whenever I find I'm talking to someone, working with somebody, and I'm trying to get them to see my way, I'm like, I'm worthy of respect. You know, it's just my way of announcing to myself that, hey, no matter, even if you're feeling some sort of way right here, don't forget you're worthy. That's right. I am. I'm worthy of this time. I'm worthy of this energy. I'm worthy of this positivity. So as many worthies as you have, when you put that worry in place, as many worthies as you have, when you start to worry, you are knocking down one of those worthies every single time. Knocking it down. I wonder if I'm good enough. Go ahead and not take away one of those worthies and have a prayer. The prayer that you were asking God to strengthen you, the prayer where you were asking God to order your steps, to lead you where you need to be, the prayer that you were making to let God know, I'm ready for you to use me, those prayers, every time you say that negative thing, every time that worry creeps in, just go ahead and take those and crumble them up and put them out in the backyard. Because that's what worrying does. It takes it out. The laws of attraction don't have a good or bad meter. So they're not able to filter, oh, those bad things I just called to myself, go ahead and X those out. You know, law of attraction doesn't do all that. The law of attraction says you said it, I'm bringing it. You thought it, I'm bringing it to you. You desired it in your heart, I'm bringing it to you. And I know you're like, well, who wants to bring worry? Oh, I do every time I do it. Exactly, exactly. Every time we say, oh, I'm on a diet, I'm working on my sundress, because, of course, sundress season is coming. I'm very excited. Okay, so every time I say I'm working on my sundress season, every time I get and do my little floor exercises, every time I reach for that water, that nice ice-cold water, as opposed to my sodas and everything, every time I reach for my, all, every time I do that, I'm putting a positivity chip in there. I'm saying, yes, my body is still worthy of being taken care of, okay? Still. Birthing babies, living through life, having magical knees, that's what I call them. You know, I got all this going on, but my body is still worth me taking care of. So every time that I do these things, I'm putting a little chip in the bowl. Yeah, boop, I am taking care of myself. I am worthy of that. I want to live and be a healthy grandmother. That's a goal of mine. I want to be able not to just see my grandchildren. I want to be able to play with my grandchildren, the grandchildren that aren't here yet. So all of these things, they're going into my positivity pot. And everybody should have, if you have one, whether you call it your gratitude book, whether you call it, no matter what you call it, I know a wonderful approach. You know, my phone lines are nice and deep. That's wonderful. Appreciate you. If you ever want to join in a conversation, all you have to do is press 1, and then that lets me know, hey, you'd like to speak on it. That's fantastic. But all a wonderful approach has gratitude journals. And in those gratitude journals, we are working to build, to grow, and we, the things that I am grateful for, the things that I am going to put affirmations out, those are the same things. But what I can't do, what I have to do is control what they call negative self-talk. This is when you speak negatively to and about yourself. And for the life of me, I don't know why you would. I have never understood why and how we can treat ourselves so harshly when only we really know the work that we've put in. Only we know how hard it's been, how far that valley, how far down that valley really was. Now, I may have yelled down the valley until you come up here, but unless I roll down there with you and scooped you up, I don't know how far down you were. But I don't know what you had to go through. No one does. Not man, woman, or child. I don't care if y'all married. I don't care if that's your mother. I don't care if that's your father. No one knows what you really had to go through to get to this point right here in your life. I can tell you, you got to this point because somebody prayed for you, whether it be yourself, your mother, your grandmother, the church. I don't care whose name sent the original prayer up, but God answered it. That's how you got here. And we can continue to do well, to rise, to build, to be these pillars. Pillars, I tell you. Pillars of righteousness. We get to do that. So as we're building ourselves, our homes, our communities, as we're building all of that, we still have to remember not to be chipping away on the back end, because that's what we do. We'll be working and building on the front end. Everything looks beautiful at that front door. And then turn around and we'll be chipping at it our own selves. Are you good enough? Are you thin enough? Do you have enough money? Is your house flashy enough? Do you have enough clothes, enough shoes? And it doesn't really matter the answer. What matters is this now unhealthy? Have we gone too far? You know, is there more we can do to balance ourselves in the struggle? Because it is a struggle. How can we stop worrying? Well, let me give you a couple ideas, because this is what a wonderful approach does. One way you can stop worrying, and this is a couple of steps in here. First, you have to acknowledge that you're doing it. Too often, we are not able to clearly see and hear ourselves. And this is where we came up with the whole idea of saying precision of language. You know, we're not just, you know, we're not just saying that, you know, if you've ever been on retreat, if you've ever been able to come to workshop, you have seen what we do and what we say. This is not just for radio. This is really how we live. This is how we communicate with each other. And when that language gets a little too raw, we have to say, hey, precision of language, sister. What are you thinking about? What you doing? So, you know, again, continue understanding what the worrying is. In order for us to stop it, when it pops up, you have to identify it. Okay? Identify the problem. Okay? And then we have to go into the next step. We have to be able to say, okay, what are my feelings around the problem? Because, okay, if the problem is I have 50 pairs of shoes and I still only have 2 feet, all right? So let's just say I've been overboard with the shoe buying. I don't know. It wasn't me. But that's just an example, right? Identify the problem. One, is the problem that I have too many shoes, or is the problem I don't have enough money to continue my shoe habit? Because just having shoes, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But it becomes unhealthy when you're choosing shoes over paying your bills. It's unhealthy when you are more interested in having the most expensive shoes than everyone in the office, than maybe even having comfortable shoes. I like comfortable shoes. But, you know, some people, they need the expensive shoes, not even comfortable. It becomes, you know, what other bad ideas can we have about it? We've gotten to the point where we care so much about the shoes, we're not really putting the time and energy into other things. So this shoe habit has become unhealthy because we're spending money we don't have. We're not doing it even for the right reasons. We're not even doing it because we like shoes. We're doing it because we want other people to see us in our shoes. So first we identified the problem. Then we identified possible negative feelings about it. Then I'm going to look at the consequences. I spoke about this earlier today. What's the consequence of having an unhealthy shoe habit? Too many shoes. An unhealthy shoe habit will have you spend the consequences. There could be financial consequences. Other things may go lacking where really clothes may have been important and you let the clothes slip. This has become a fetish. You get real unhealthy. But the consequences mainly are financial and possibly the idea that now that you let everybody know, you have a problem. You know, when you let people know you have a problem, they'll exploit you and they'll look at you a little funny. So, all right. All right, so what we have to do is, after we've looked at the consequences of our shoe pricing, we have to stop and think, you know, what are our choices? What can we do? We can look and see, okay, I really do need half of these shoes. But the other half, I might be able to give to somebody else. You know, that's a choice I'm making. I can share. You know, I can also, you know, ask for some help when I realize, okay, maybe this is a little bigger than me. I need some help with my unhealthy relationship with shoes. You know, I need some help in realizing I really don't even have space to put these shoes anymore. I'm just collecting them now to be collecting them. We always have a choice. We always have a choice of when and how we're going to handle things. And I think a lot of times, we like to think that circumstances justify our means. You know, and what I mean by that is I'll get to the point where I'm like, well, you know, I had to make this decision because, you know, I didn't have insurance. I had to make this decision because my child was worrying me about it. They kept asking me every day, Mom, are you going to buy me a video game? Are you going to buy me a video game? I had to get it. No. We get into these unhealthy habits of allowing other people's, what we think other people think of us, to be paramount, and that's not true. So all of these things have negative connotations that if we're not careful, it will take away from our prayers. It'll take away from all of the positive things we're building. And unfortunately, this is not something we can go about passively. I wish it was. I wish you could listen to our hour and a half here on the radio, doing a Wonderful Approach Radio. I wish. And I wish that would be enough positivity for you for an entire week. But it's not. Because with this hour and a half program, if you go and watch one or two television shows or Netflix shows or Hulu shows, I guarantee you, in 1.5 hours of their programming, you're going to get nudity, violence, death, curse words, all kinds of extremely negative, spirit-staining things. And I'm going to say it again, spirit stains. That's when you get a stain on your spirit. I had a woman say something so horrible at the work today. I said, you know, I need to go home and wash out my ears. And she was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, that's so foul. I said, what you just said is so foul. I have to go wash out my ears, okay? So I need you to stop talking. Go somewhere away from me. I need to make my prayers and wash out my ears. Thank you. And she was like, okay, you know. I had to let her know what she said was, I'm working on myself. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm in my beautiful white. You know, I say beautiful white because my whites don't stay white for long. So when I see them white, I'm like, ooh, you looking good. Ooh, you shining. Because it's only a matter of time before they not. But I was like, so as clean and fresh as I was, her words felt like they just smeared blueberry goo all over my white. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty bad. And so I don't allow people to come and rub their hands on me like that. That's why I had to stop this woman and exit her from my vicinity and let her know, look, chick, I don't play with that. I don't play those games. I don't play those words. I'm going to need you to go over there. It's not playing. So, you know, don't be afraid when someone is polluting your space, even whether it's with foul words, with negative actions. if they're just bringing all kind of doubts, even if it's self-doubt, don't let them, don't let them pollute your space. Don't let them dilute your spirit. I can promise you, if, you know, water and coffee beans, the coffee beans are polluting the water. And once the water has become polluted to a certain degree, it's called what? Coffee. All right? Don't let someone dilute you to the point that they change who you are. I don't know what else is about to come out this woman's mouth, but if she had not packed up her little wagon and left, I was going to. That's how adamant I am about not allowing anyone to interfere with me and Sully, what I got going on, at all. Even at work, I have to correct you and then suggest that you leave me, leave my vicinity. Go, go now. Absolutely. Because what I couldn't do in my wife while I'm fasting in a prison is to take on any negativity on Wednesdays. Just can't do it. I can't not gonna. So I share this with you so that you know there may be times, places, and spaces where you got to remind certain people, hey, hey, you can't bring that worrying over here. I trust God. I trust God's going to make the right decision. Are there things that stay on my mind? Yes, Lord, there is. Oh, my goodness. Oh, how am I going to move? When am I going to move? What about this facility? What about the prisoners that are on my caseload? I want them to be okay in my absence. You know, what about this? What about that? All of this. I can't let that worry sit around me. Can't not go. Because I don't want to ever be distracted with something small when God comes to me and says, I got something for you. When God comes to me and says, I need you to do something, I want to be ready and waiting for his word. I want to be ready and waiting to follow instructions. I want to be ready and waiting to shake off whatever and whoever I got to shake off so that I know who and what I'm doing, and I know what I'm doing is pleasing to God. And worrying is not pleasing to God. So, no matter how difficult you may find this, identifying that you're worrying is the first step. And stopping. Immediately stopping. You may have to say, you know what, hold on. I don't have to worry about that. How do you know you don't have to worry about it? You can't control it. Now, weather is crazy. I'm going to Florida in 2 weeks, and I'm bringing half of the East Coast with me, okay? And so on one hand, I'm like, I don't want it to be cold. I want everyone to be comfortable. I want it to be strong, you know, the sun to be up enough to go to the beach. I want. I got a nice long list of wants, right? But I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it because exactly what I need to happen is going to happen. Exactly what Spirit says is going to happen is going to happen. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to force it. I don't have to do anything of that nature because I already know that God's taking care of it. So the worry, I let go. So I'll be calling all my Tampa people. I'm going to be like, okay, all right, we're ready for Tampa. Good. You're not ready for Tampa? Okay, good. You know, no matter what happens, no matter the way it's supposed to happen, I have already released this to God. I have released the good and the bad I have released everything. It's all going as an offering to God. I wasn't holding none of it for myself. So I don't have to worry about it. I can truly be open-minded, open-hearted, and know that everything is going to be taken care of in the way that it's supposed to. Now, this takes practice, family. I'm laughing because, you know, I got an additional company with me, and they're laughing. They're like, you think? Yeah, I think. I know. It takes practice. It takes what part takes practice, Mama Seven? The part that takes practice is the part where you have to let go and trust God, that part. The part when you say to yourself, I'm going to let God have his way. Because I know God got some big plans for me. And I know God is working on things in my favor. How do I know this? Because me and God have a close relationship. I make my prayers on a regular. I keep up with my ancestors' shrine. I'm pleasant to my neighbors. You know what I'm saying? I'm really working on making sure it, no matter what question God asks me, I want him to put a little check mark by my name so that he knows how hard I worked to be this person. And so I have to really, really let go. Now, who is this going to be hard for? All my control freaks out there. Yes, yes, I said the F word. Control freak. You're not controlling nothing. You can't control the elements. You can barely control your bowels, okay? You're barely controlling your health. You're barely controlling your mouth. So what would make you think that you could control anything else? I keep trying to tell people the secret to the universe is being able to control your mouth. It's amazing. So, my control freaks who think that you can control something, the moment that you let that go, and I know it's going to be a little scary, you're going to feel out of control, but you'll probably be in the best place in space ever. You will be in the most positive setting, the positive opportunity ever. You're going to be in the opportunity to be able to really, really see yourself, accept yourself, make this happen. So, my control freaks, all right? Who else is worrying? You know, who else is this going to be difficult for? Honestly, I'm going to tell you. My classic victims. If you are accustomed to being a victim, then you are going to have a difficult time with worrying because you're going to be worrying all over the place to the point where it's just going to, everything's going to seem like a worry and you can lose people's attention that way, you know? Because a lot of times those worry warts, they're doing that for attention or they're doing it because they're out of control. It doesn't matter. They're still doing it. So, all of my victims, my wannabe victims, my people that kind of get off on making other people worry about them and being manipulative, all that good stuff, worrying is going to be right up your alley. You're going to be always thinking about, oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm worrying. Oh, I'm concerned. When you realize the true victim is not staying in the worry. The true victory, the victory for all, is going to come once you let that worry go. So all my worry warts, those people, the constant victims, going to let that go. Now I'm going to say this, and I can't believe we're getting to the end of the show, but I'm going to say this. A lot of people hold on to the worry, and I know this because my old partner was Mr. Captain Save-A-Ho, okay? Oh, he loved saving hoes. He loved saving people who made him believe they couldn't save themselves. And he was good at it. Why? Because that meant he didn't have to worry about his own stuff. Okay? So we have to make sure that we don't get addicted to trying to fix everyone else's worrying so we don't have to deal with our own things that we are worried about. Okay? We're not here to save other people. You can help inspire them. You can give them a good word. You can help encourage them. You can even show them the right way. But it's not your job to put them on your back and then fly off, jump out in a single bound. That's not your job. That's not your job. So for all those people that have been worrying so long, it's become a way of life, unhealthy. For all those people that would much rather fix someone else's problems than to spend the time and energy fixing their own, unhealthy. For those that it not only is it easy to fix somebody else's problem, because there's thank yous and appreciations in fixing someone else's problem. Other people are happy and clap for you when you fix someone else's problem. The problem is when you're fixing your own, what do people say? About time. What do people say? Oh, you should have been done that. So there's bigger rewards in helping other people. But you can't go help other people until you have helped yourself. You can. And I don't care where these worldly people may say, oh, yeah, thanks, whatever. There's nothing more rewarding than being a responsible citizen of God. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they put your name and face all over Facebook. All the kudos that they could give you do not equate to one iota of God's acknowledgement of good work. Okay? They don't have enough likes out there to cover God's grace, God's approval. There's not enough acknowledgments in the world. Okay? So I just wanted to thank everyone for tuning in. I hope everyone got a chance to learn something about praying and worrying. Don't do it. Drop the worrying. And if you're praying sincerely, the worrying will naturally drop off. Like always, since the beginning of this show, 2.5 years ago, prayer has been this focal point. We're working on prayer because we know prayer is how we talk to God and meditation is how we listen. So at the end of each prayer, at the end of each show, we add prayer into it. Why? Because prayer brings God into all things, and that is our goal. We want to bring God into not just our radio programs, but into our life, into our hearts, into our minds to give us better understanding, into our efforts, definitely on our tongue, so that our words can be sweeter, more meaningful, more intentional, so our actions can be godly. So we're going to have to drop the worrying and just keep the prayer going. And for those that are still struggling through some situations, as we all are, I'm telling you, God is here right now. All you have to do is reach out. It's easy. It's simple. I pray that this prayer that I'm about to make, and this is a heart prayer. You know, this is a prayer from the heart. This is something, you know, I just wanted to speak to God for a moment, and I'm just going to keep the radio waves open. But, you know, we're all sitting with many computers in our hands. Don't let this opportunity pass you by for you to take a chance to listen to a couple of prayers. Research them online. You know, there are a number of meditation things out there. So don't use the computer on your phone to learn how to spell, to look up this, to stalk that. Don't use it for that, but you can look up a prayer, okay? I'm just saying. Don't allow this small offering that I'm making tonight to be the last offering that you make until the next time we meet. But if it is, please let it be heartfelt and understood and well-intended, okay? All right, so again, thanks everyone for tuning in. Please take these three things out your life: jealousy, envy, and worry. Save yourself some wrinkles, you know, and add some more depth, appreciation, and understanding into your life, okay? Evening prayer. Father, Mother, God, I come before you humble. I come before you patient. I come before you in a sincere openness, as I'm a young spirit, still learning the ways of you, God, still trying to understand all of the wonders that you have placed here on this earth for us. God, I want to spend time getting to know you and aligning myself with you in a personal way. God, I want to thank you for all the time and attention, all the wonderful angels you sent to me to help teach me, all the positive people that you keep around me to keep me guided, to keep me grounded, to keep me loved, to keep me supported. I thank you, God, for these people. I ask that you strengthen them as they strengthen me as we go through this life, this understanding. God, I ask you order my steps, keep me on the right path. God, I promise I make a commitment to you right here, right now, that I will listen, I will be obedient, I will be humble, I will be kind, I will be generous, I will be respectful, I will operate in dignity, I will operate out of love, I will learn your language as so that I can better teach, better comprehend. God, I want you to know that I take my studies seriously. I take my relationship with you, God, very seriously. I just need you to understand that as I move forward in this life, that can have me twisted, turned upside down, stumbling, bruised, bent, and confused. But I know that if you stay close to me, God, I will seek you out. I will find my way. I know that all things are doable with your love wrapped around me. God, I know that I have to be patient. We humans can be impatient. I know that we have to be patient and loving and supportive of each other and our trials and tribulations. So I only ask that you bring in peace, peace of heart, peace of mind, healing of the physical bodies as we go forward in this life. God, please reach each and every one, shining your light so that they can be inspired and just know that you are there to give them the encouragement to make it another day. God, I ask for your, not just your protection, not just your blessings, but also your forgiveness, God. So many times we act in childish ways because we are young spirits. We act in childish ways because we don't know the proper words to put together, to ask and to be mature and to be consistent, God. So we ask for your forgiveness for the things that we have done that we should not. We ask your forgiveness for all the times that we fell short, when we didn't come through like we know we should have. We ask your forgiveness, and we ask that you lighten our hearts so we can forgive others as they're young and make mistakes as well. So, God, I know that you have given us all of information that we need, all the love that we need, all the time that we need. I worry not, because I have faith and trust in you, God. You have never let me go. You have never let me down. I never feel like I have stumbled. As long as I'm sitting here in your arms, I fear not. So, God, as we're making our way through this week, please continue to walk with us through today's fast. Amen. So, God, please, as I'm wrapping up this prayer, wrapping up the evening, coming to some resolutions, having strong resolution in my heart, knowing that you have us and that we are protected within your grace. Amen. Thank you. Amen.